Welcome back to Fantasy TE. My name is Nick Masick. Also have Vital DeJuiced, and Lonnie Cox is missing tonight. He is out of action. I don't know what's going on. He's under the weather or something to that effect. So we wish Lonnie the best, and who knows, maybe he'll write in while we're on air. That'd be fun if we get to hear from him. We got fun stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff going on in the NFL and in fantasy. We got some upsets, we got some surprises, we got fantasy playoffs we can talk about, a Lone Star Showdown, a new Cowboys receiver just hot off the wire, a bizarre new celebration, and fines for faking. But first, filling in for Lonnie Cox, we have Why Your Team Sucks with Vital DeJuiced.
All right. So this week, this was a hard week. It really was. I really was going back and forth on a lot of people, and I really wanted to beat up on Dallas. But since Lonnie's not here, and I feel like we've went to them twice all year already, I want to go after the Buccaneers. Because here's why they suck the most. Not only did they get creamed by Mr. Irrelevant, absolutely creamed. That was disgusting, dude. Not only that, they're still at the top of their division and they're taking a playoff seed from a winning team. Like, how terrible is that? This team is garbage and they're still going to take a seed from a winning team. We have to change this division winners automatically at a berth. You at least have to have a winning record. I think that's got to be the minimum requirement.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. The Bucs did suck this week. It's funny because it kind of parallels one of the things I wanted to bring up about fantasy playoffs, which is something we might look at in our league. But this is like the age-old debate about should losing teams get into the playoffs? And I know there's always examples of why they shouldn't. But then there's always these examples of, like, do you remember the Marshawn Lynch Beast Quake run against the, I think it was at the time, defending champion New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, Everyone said that run's legendary, dude.
It's legendary. Without division winners getting an automatic bid, that run doesn't happen. That improbable win doesn't happen because the Seahawks were 7-9 that year. So that gets erased from the annals of football history.
But here's the thing. Maybe it shouldn't have happened. It's cool that it did.
It wasn't just that run, though. It wasn't just one great run. It was Matt Hasselbeck turning back the clock and beating the defending champs in a great game. Like, he played fantastic. He played out of his mind. So we don't get to see that kind of stuff. I know what you're saying. But let's look at the teams that the Bucs will be getting a playoff berth over. First, and also keep in mind, they already added an extra team last year. So we're already getting 7 playoff teams, whereas before we were only getting 6. We got an extra team in already starting last year. The teams that are on the bubble in the NFC, you've got the Lions, who we're going to talk about a little bit more, at 6-7. The Lions could make a push. And legitimately are playing better football than the Bucs right now, by all accounts. But the Lions might get in anyway. You've also got the Seattle Seahawks that are 7-6. I don't even know if you can say the Seahawks are playing better football than the Bucs right now. The Bucs had a big comeback win. I know they got beat down by the Niners, but the Niners making a lot of teams look bad, your Dolphins included.
The Bucs had a comeback win against the Saints. You have them saying like it's a good team. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were also down to the Saints.
But the Saints are a division rival that have had their number. Even when they've been good, they
understand. Down. But this year is not like Breeze Brady. You know what I'm saying? These are not their best years.
No, it's not for sure. But the Saints have had Brady's number. Their defense has had his number. And it's always a tough divisional matchup against the Saints. Even when the Saints sucked, I feel like last year they weren't very good, and they still beat Brady.
I'm saying this year they both suck. That's why it was so close.
All right, maybe. But the point is, the 49ers have embarrassed a lot of teams, including 2 weeks ago, your Miami Dolphins. So
I wouldn't say embarrassed. Okay, let's not throw that word out there.
Oh, I gave you the win.
We got some hits off. It wasn't. What was their score? It wasn't 35-7.
No, it wasn't as bad. But the Dolphins are supposed to be a contender, and the Bucs are not. And I'm just saying they made both teams look bad. So, all right, hear me out. The teams that you're talking about, the Lions, the Seahawks, the Giants, and the Commanders. That's kind of the group right now, where the Bucs are going to not get a spot over one of those teams. And two of those teams are still going to get in, I believe, right? As of right now. So it's like two out of those four teams are going to make the playoffs, I think. Are any of those teams really that much more deserving than a division champ? I'm just saying, we have divisions for a reason. You're not talking about them stealing a spot from a top-tier team. You're talking about the eighth seed is not going to get in because of the Bucks. The eighth, the barely in the top half of the conference.
I don't know. I guess not. The Lions will probably make a push anyway. And there's no one on this list that I'd be like upset if I didn't see them in the playoffs. So I'm looking at it, but that's also just because of the division too. Like this could barely.
I know. But that's what you get with seven teams in now. You're not really keeping anybody out who really should be in.
Yeah,
you know
very true. I mean?
That, and I think that might have been one of the reasons, part of the logic behind expanding to a seven teams, because it sort of quiets the argument of should every division winner get in? And I don't know. I mean, I don't know when Wirfs is coming back, but like, dude, having Brady in the playoffs is good. Like, it's just good for football. It is. Like, even whether you like him or not, having Brady and the Bucks and all those big names in, they are a spoiler waiting to happen. That's the thing. That's why I like seeing. Yeah, they're not playing good right now. They got a few more weeks, though. And One thing I will say, one thing Brady learned from Belichick, and I think it's helped him, you know, after he's left, is how to prepare for one game, for one team, how to specifically game plan. It's like, all right, we got one, like they're spending all season trying to get better. And then they're going to have one playoff game against what? The Giants, the Commanders, one of these teams, maybe the Lions. I don't know who it's going to be against, but he's going to have a whole week to be like, all right, what do we need to do to beat this specific team? I'm just saying, watch out. Nobody wants to see Brady in the playoffs. Nobody.
No, I'm with you. He still has that switch he can turn at any point in time. I agree with you. It's not like they're like a walkthrough.
No,
for sure.
Definitely not. Yeah. And you know, if their offensive line figures anything out, or they get anybody back from that offense, from the injury list on the offensive line, and their defense is still playing well. But yeah, they sucked. You know what I almost seemed like, and I keep saying this, but I want to see it happen. And some of the pundits are starting to talk about it or allude to it as well. It almost seemed like the 49ers were auditioning for Tom Brady. Like they were like, hey, check out what we got. Imagine if you were on our team instead of
this with Purdy. Like
I know they could do Purdy, by the way, Purdy played pretty well.
No, he really did, dude.
That's a tongue twister.
Pick him
up. Yeah. he seems pretty legit. He seems to know that off, and also that offense is he's athletic, he's accurate, and that's and he seems smart enough to run the offense. All you got to do is get it to your guys, really? That reminds me of that was
so
one of
the studs there make so many plays.
Yeah, it's like they're gonna make anybody look good. Imagine how good they would look with Brady putting the ball in the perfect place for the run after the catch, because that's always been his specialty. Not just getting the completion, but leading them with his like supreme accuracy.
The thing I will say, though, that's probably I know they're auditioning, but just their situation now, they've hurt like every QB they've had. If I'm Brady at 46, I was like, ooh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to San Fran, bro.
Yeah.
Trey Lance, Jimmy.
I know, but he's gotten, I wouldn't say that's their fault. He's got a much worse offensive line. You're talking about the quickest release in football. He knows how to move around in the pocket and get rid of the ball to protect himself, Brady's no dummy.
I hope, man.
He'll take his dude. He'll take his sack.
If Purdy gets hurt, dude, no way he goes there. No way.
Oh, I don't know about that. Purdy's running around like crazy. Dude, Brady will tuck the ball, take a sack, and go to second and 13 and then hit you for 25. You know, I love that move specifically this offseason. I really hope we see it. So it did seem like an audition, though, for the 49ers. Like, come try this out. What else we got? Okay, so fantasy playoffs, man. We had our league start this week. Dude, first week, holy shit, it came down to Steven Turzo's matchup, came down to the last second field goal from Jason Saunders. Dude, if he makes it, Turzo wins, which he did. If he misses it, Steve wins. And if he doesn't even kick it, if they opt not to go for the field goal, Turzo loses. I think even with an extra point, he still loses. So that was fun. My matchup is still very much in jeopardy. I got Ramondre Stevenson versus Nick Folk, and I'm up by like a point and a half. Dude, Nick Folk has had like 20-point games this year. There's no way that is a safe. It can go either way tonight for fantasy.
Yeah, play. I would. Yeah,
it's very.
He has the bad ones too.
He's had some bad ones too, which are more. It's not. I don't know that he's
That's
missed
because of the game script. Yeah, because that game one script. Game that they just a defensive like nothing, right? Just one right. That one field goal.
Exactly. So dude, it's gonna be really interesting. I think Ramondre. I think Damian Harris is out though, so I think that helps. That's gonna help Ramondre Stevenson. He could get a bunch of catches tonight. So man, our playoffs off to a hot start right away. So you think Watson is a waste in Cleveland?
I think it might be, man. I don't know. It just might be one of those situations where I think his numbers were inflated because Houston was so bad. And I'm not saying he's not good, but he also had he was throwing to DeAndre Hopkins, right?
Yeah, he had D-Hop for most of the time he was there.
Yeah, dude, I'm just saying, someone like that would get that open. It seems like he was gunslinging, and now he's gunslinging. It's not working out for him there. And it's not like he doesn't have talent there. Cleveland's pretty solid at receiver.
They were
doing well with Brissett.
Yeah, they were doing pretty good. I think he's still knocking the rust off. He looked better this week than he did last week. I'll say that. He was sharper. I saw some of the throws, some of the old Watson throws, some of the scrambles that he started to look more like the old Deshaun Watson. It's going to take a little while. I think this is going to be, because you got to remember, he hasn't played football in a long time. So yeah. I think this, the rest of this season, it reminds me a little bit of like when Jordan came back for the Bulls. I'm not saying he's Jordan, but his college coach did say he was Jordan. But it reminds me a little bit of when Jordan came back for the Bulls. And it's like, you could see, like, he was still really good, but he was knocking the rust off. And and then the next season he came back and he was like full strength, full off season prep with the guys, chemistry. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a bust. I think he's still got it. He's just working his way back.
Yeah, I could see it, but I can also see it not.
It can't be as bad as, I mean, listen.
And beyond that, here's, you know, what I also really rely on for a lot of this franchise history. Is Cleveland historically good at making decisions? Like, that's what I'm saying. If Cleveland goes left, I'm going to go right. And not just because that's what I'm saying. I was like, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, but up until like 2 years ago, you could say the same thing about the Dolphins since Dan Marino retired, basically.
Yeah, I guess. But we're always fun to watch. At least, like, Cleveland's hard to be a fan of.
Yeah, that's true. I think they're going to be better to watch at the very least with Watson. Yeah,
at the very least.
They're going to be better to watch. He's going to be more.
But they thought that with Baker, too. And then it was, ooh.
No, they were pretty exciting with Baker.
He would have some comeback games. I'm not saying there. But when it was normal, it was like, ooh, this. It was literally hard to watch.
It wasn't always good, but it was exciting.
Yeah.
Speaking of Baker, man, Baker being exciting. Coming back in, how about that shit? That was wild.
Dude.
24 hours with the team, came in and beat the hot streaking Las Vegas Raiders. No one saw that coming. He didn't even start the game. He was like, they started, who did they start? Did they start Perkins or Wolford or something? And then, and then he comes in and leads them to fourth quarter comeback, 98-yard drive. Like, that was wild, dude. With with this team that has done nothing. Like, none of their stars are healthy. They're all injured. Do you see this being a revival opportunity for Baker?
I would love that, but nah, man. I don't see it at all, man. I think a lot of that game was more – that showed more, I think, about it. Oakland. Vegas is fucking defense, dude. They keep losing to really bad teams they shouldn't lose to. Did they get beat up by Carolina? They lost to Indiana, right? Aren't they the only ones who lost to him? Like, under the brand new coach there. Everyone else is beating up on old man Matt Ryan. Like, and then this game, like, because it was a penalty situation. Did they have two big penalties? Like, they started to smack the ball out of his hand. And it was like 15 yards, and they like took time out of the ball.
Yeah, there was a
lot of like defensive penalties. It wasn't just 98 yards, like bigger.
No. But he was dropping dimes though.
I'm saying he got a couple, but I'm saying more than that. I don't think Baker's resurgence. He won the game. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think he's gonna come back. I think it was just more him taking advantage of a shitty defense.
Yeah. Here's the thing, man. Baker's never had, you talked about Cleveland, and yeah, he's had accuracy issues and he's always been a little bit wild, but he's also never had a great team around him where he could just kind of sit back and make the good decisions. I feel like he's always had the burden of trying to win the game and making things happen. And anytime
he's building a franchise, pretty much, at least he's coming into Sean McVay's system now. You're right. It's just,
which is a good system. It's an easy system. Granted, he doesn't have all the guys, but I don't know, man. Even in Carolina, he had McCaffrey, but like that wasn't like a well functioning offensive system. That was a disaster, you know. And just because you have good players around you doesn't necessarily mean that the system works. So I think that, and we saw the dysfunction in Carolina. I don't know. I'm curious. I feel like some team's going to give him a shot, kind of like a Ryan Fitzpatrick sort of maybe guy, bridge gap for, you know, I don't think it's over for Baker.
I think he'll always have a job as a backup. I really do think that.
I think he might be like the new Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic. Like we'll play you until we're ready to bring our new guy in, you know? That it's gonna be curious to see what happens with him next year. All right, so Lone Star Showdown. The Texans gave the Cowboys a pretty good run for their money.
Yep, that was a tough game, bro. It'll right down to the wire.
Yeah, it's not a division rivalry. It's not a conference rivalry, but it is an in-state rivalry. And I feel like the Texans,
city, bro.
I feel like the Texans get up for these games against the Cowboys a little bit, even since that was the first game in franchise history was against the Cowboys and they beat them as an expansion team. Like there's a little bit of in-state rivalry there. And I think you saw a little bit of that. We want to be the Texas team. We're a Texas, you know, like we're still here. Mm-hmm. Cowboys may be America's team, but like the Texans want everybody to know that they're at least some of Texas roots for them. And they try
I'm
to.
I'm with you, dude. They played hard, dude. The defense played hard. Everyone came out, dude. That was a game.
It was a really good game. And it was like, it didn't make sense. And then it clicked. I was like, oh, this is Texas football right here. Like this is what's going on. I liked it too. It was good. I'll come back to the Texans because I got a question. It's actually more for Lonnie. Maybe I'll save it for next week. Because he watches more closely the college. But they're probably gonna get the first overall draft pick. So the Lions blew out for the second week in a row a blowout win, and they're hot, man. They blew out the Vikings in division. Division leading Vikings. I think the Lions are for real, man. I don't think anybody wants to play them right now. They got Jameson Williams back. They got DJ Chark back. So all of a sudden, and Jameson Williams scored his first NFL touchdown. Dude, all of a sudden the Lions just, and their defense is playing hard. They're not great on defense yet, but Hutchinson's still making plays. That receiving core is just ridiculous, dude. Nobody can keep up with them. I heard one of the announcers for that game referenced the greatest show on turf. And
oh, really?
Yeah. He was like, dude, he invoked that. Amon Ra Jameson Williams, DJ Chark, Josh Reynolds is like their number four, TJ Hockenson, DeAndre Swift is a great receiver. You got the thumper in Jamal Williams. And Goff just sits back there and drops dimes, man. He's putting it on him. And his receivers are so open. Dude, like he's got three open receivers on every route.
Dude, yeah. They just looking at their schedule, it looks pretty easy, man. Aside from the Jets, I think they have next week, the rest of it is Panthers. They have to play Chicago, and then they have to play the Packers.
That doesn't sound tough. That Jets game is
three out of four, baby. The Jets will be a hard defensive effort, but still, like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, that Jets game, both those teams are right. That's going to have almost a playoff feel to it. The Jets Lions game next week, dude, that's going to be a tough
game. They both want it right now. Yeah, they do.
Really similar teams, too, man. It's almost like they mirror each other, you know, like just talented wide receivers across the board. Some really really athletic, really talented running backs. Great. Well, no, actually, the Jets have the defense for sure. But just asking your quarterback to get it to open guys. That's it. That's all they're doing. Mike White got hurt, but it sounds like he's going to be back. So that should
Mike White took some hits, bro. I want to compare the hits that Mike White took versus like the Justin Herbert, roughing the passer call.
I know.
I was like, you guys are letting Mike White get obliterated out there. And this perfect stack on Herbert. Whoa.
Dude, Mike White got hit in the ribs, though. They were allowed to hit him in the ribs.
he crumbled, dude. I thought that was a terrorist attack the way you pulled it. I was like, yo, come on.
It was rough. Dude, when I saw that Herbert call, though, I was like, you know what I thought of in that moment? I was like, dude, this is going to start to go the other way. Like defensive coordinators, if they keep calling these ticky-tack ones, D coordinators are going to be like, listen, you're going to get called either way. Fucking lay them out. It's going to be a penalty.
The way franchise, I don't think it's going to change. I think this is just the way of the game now, man. People protect franchise QBs now, especially after all that stuff happened with Tua, dude. Yeah. It was always like that. But a backup, you could see they don't care. But if you're the franchise QB, dude, nah, you can't touch them. Come on. There's too much money in it. The league knows.
I know. They don't want these guys to get hurt. Really, nobody wants them to get hurt because it does. Yeah. The level of play decreases so much. Our interest in the games decreases so much when these guys go out.
So, I don't want to get hurt, but that foul was bull. Come on, man.
You got to. Yeah. There's got to be a line where you don't cross. It's interesting because fines have started to play and ejections have started to happen. Like I've seen more bad ejections this year where I was like, that should be okay. Maybe, yeah, a penalty, maybe even a fine, but not an ejection. Like, dude,
it changes the game too much, man.
It changes the game
too much. Like a bump. Like it's
come on, man. The ejection should only be for like when it's clear that they're disregard for player safety. But like if it's a situation where a guy ducks down and he just like at the last second, you know, the receiver ducks and he catches him, I give him the penalty.
It is, you know, like you have to know. I hate how they do it in slow motion and everyone thinks that's what it is. I was like, it's also going 80 times faster and these guys are 300 pounds, dude. You're not gonna break on a dime. No. I know you've seen it slow motion. You're like, oh, he can't do anything.
It has changed the way players target, though. You have seen a lot more clean shoulder hits, rib shots, you know, stuff like that. They have, and that was the goal, right? Players are still going to get hit and they should still get hit hard when you're trying to knock the ball loose, but it is changing the way that defenses are coached and defensive players are taught to hit. So you're still seeing some big hits that are clean, and I like that They're still working out the kinks of this whole
thing. There were some good ones. Talking about a big hit that was clean, because I was just thinking about this and it never happens. The Texans erased the TD.
I forgot who caught it.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
That's perfect.
Classic football. I mean, they scored on the next play, but that to just take it away from them like that, I was like, yes.
I know. I love seeing that too. And it was clean and it was hard and he knocked the ball loose. I loved seeing it. And I think that's what we're going to start to see more of. And that's what you want. It's like, you're trying to eliminate the head injuries and really eliminate the knee injuries, But you know what? Guys are going to get bruised ribs. They're going to get cracked ribs. They're going to get maybe some broken collarbones. Those are not injuries that are going to cause, like, you know,
career damage.
Yeah. Severe, like long-term. Yeah. It sucks. But like, that's what you get when you go across the middle. And that should still be what you have to deal with when you go across the middle in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So I liked it. There was a fine though, that was levied for, this was really interesting. I'd never seen this before. Did you see this? Cameron Jordan, for the Saints was fined, I think it was $500,000 for faking an injury. Dude, this happened during the Bucs game. And like, we've been seeing a lot of faking injuries, especially lately in games that matter with the, cause I think it was at the end of the game when Brady was running the hurry up offense and the defense is tired and they need to get some rest and they need a substitution. And the league actually fined him like $500,000. They fined him and the Saints coaches, I guess the coaching staff. I'm not sure exactly how the fine's getting divvied up, but the Saints are paying for faking an injury.
I mean, here's the thing. I feel like this has been happening. So I think they're now just cracking. They're probably just doing that thing. You know, this is like, hey, we're getting tired of this. They're stopping the game. But yeah, that's always been a move. A team's out of timeout and every other play, their lineman's down. I was like, all right. Like,
yeah, it's been happening for too long. And it's bad for viewership. People don't want to see it. They want to see your guys against their guys. And none of this, you know, maybe it's because the World Cup is on right now. People are like, we're better than this. These fucking pussies playing soccer.
It's commercials all the time at the end of like the last 2 minutes. You want to see this drive. It's commercial.
Yeah. Like, no, it's not a TV. So you're a fan. I like the fine. I want to see them legislated out of the game. Kind of like the NBA did a few years ago. They started fining players for flopping. And I like it. Yeah. Like, we don't need to see that. Like, play the game straight up the way I know previously it's been gamesmanship. That's like what the term is or whatever, but you know what? Line up and play. These are the rules.
That's the thing with gamesmanship. The game's going to catch up. That's the point.
Yeah.
So now you got the game caught up.
Right. The game's caught up. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the first time I've heard of it, but I love it. Because especially before the playoffs, I don't want to see this shit happening in the playoffs. I want to see teams going toe to toe. Right down to the wire, you know. If you can't keep up with their hurry-up offense, you better play, you know, figure it out.
Manage your timeouts better. That's right. What it is.
That too. Yeah, that's true. That's on the coaching staff as well. So the Lions, we were talking about the Lions. Right? The Lions need to catch right now. They're sitting on the outside looking in. Bucks are not in, you know, that's out of the playing field. But the Seahawks also lost. So they're 7-6. The Lions are 6-7. The Giants and the Commanders are both 7-5-1. Dude, how bad would it be if they tied again this week?
No, don't put it out there.
They might do it. If there are any teams,
good, I swear.
That's what I'm saying. If there's any team that's capable of it, it's those two teams.
Like, this has been happening too. They've been very close, like a bunch of ties that would like break the system down. Wasn't there a game last year and it was almost there? I was like, no.
It was really close. Dude, if the two teams tied each other in back-to-back games, so with identical records, oh God, it'd be so ugly.
They both just do nothing for the entire division at a standstill.
Yeah, nothing. So, but assuming that these two teams don't tie again, one of them is going to fall to 7-6-1. Right now, they're both a game and a half ahead of the Lions. If the Lions win next week, I think they might move into a playoff spot. I guess it depends on Seattle as well. But, dude, the way they're playing and the way these other teams are playing, I really think the Lions are going to get in, and I don't think anybody wants to see them in the playoffs. I mean, who would they match up against if they're the 7 seed or even the 6 seed? Who is it going to be? Who's the 2 seed in the NFC? Is it going to be the Vikings?
It is the Vikings. I think they might get that one. I've been saying the Vikings are just, first off, everyone knows the Vikings are not a playoff team, but I feel like all of their games are like within a point or two.
They are. They played a lot of Ravens games.
Like, score two.
I think they'd end up getting either the Vikings or the Cowboys because the Eagles look like they're going to get the bye. So
five plays six or five plays four?
Well, it started 2 plays 7, 3 plays 6. So the 2 or the 3, if they're the 6 or the 7, which right. would be probably the Vikings.
Right now, as an Eagles number 1, Vikings 2, Niners 3, Bucks Niners. 4, Cowboys 5, Washington 6, Niners. Giants.
Okay. All right. So it could be the Niners. But the it's probably going to be the Niners. Niners or Vikings. Niners aren't scared of anybody, and they might get Jimmy G back for the playoffs, they're saying. He was season-ending foot injury, but that's just regular season, and they reevaluated, and they said it's season-ending, but it's not playoff ending necessarily. So, which is probably one of the reasons they didn't put a bid in for Baker Mayfield, like a lot of people thought they might. They reevaluated Jimmy, and they feel good with Purdy, so... Yeah, I don't think the Niners are scared of anybody. Ooh, that'd be a matchup, though, man. Niners-Lions first round.
You need something to prove? I'd like that.
I just want to see the Lions get in, man. I want to see them. This team is too fun to watch right now. Mm-hmm. They're blowing. They blew out the Vikings. I think they could do it again in the playoffs.
I always told you. I always believe it.
You. I'm a Goff guy, dude. I like Goff.
He will bring them back to the mountaintop. You guys will see.
I believe
he'll show McVay dropping him.
Well, I might pick them to win the division next year. I'm for real. Like, I like them a lot. And
they're young,
they're hungry, but they have in Goff, they've got a guy who's been there. He's starting to become that experienced quarterback. Who knows what it takes to win, I think. So yeah, they kind of have that they have a formula that I think is a winning formula. I might pick them to win the division next year if not much changes in that division. Mariota's getting benched. Well, not benched though. I guess he's going on IR. So apparently Mariota's hurt. We're going to see the Desmond Ridder experiment in Atlanta for the rest of the year, probably. It's going to be interesting. I guess they need to figure out what they got going in case they're going to look at other quarterback options. I think it's about time though. Like,
I think Mariota was also like you're describing going to be a stopgap, or like that was their whole plan,
right? But it's time. Like, you need to figure out what you're doing for this year and next year. So, this one's been killing me. As far as like a fantasy manager, especially, have you seen the injury celebration? This new celebration that players are doing this year. They like the run into the end zone
from the soccer one.
Is that what it is? Is it a soccer
soccer girl? Yeah, she was like an MLB. She did this really cool quick kick and then like faked a cramp and then started twerking. That one.
That's the one. All right. So I didn't know that's where it came from, dude. It's driving me nuts. Like, I'll be watching my players playing and they'll like fake a hamstring injury and I'm like, no. Nah! It's
way cuter when she did it, guys. Let it go. It's not a good look.
But watching from a fantasy perspective is this roller coaster of emotion because they just scored a touchdown. You're like, yes. And then they fake a hamstring. You're like, no. And then they start dancing. You're like, fuck. I mean.
Oh, is he hurt? Oh, no. He just wants to make some money.
I wonder if the coaches are going through this too, or if they tell. I feel like the first time a player did this, their coach had a heart attack. You know what I mean?
Oh, for
like,
sure.
I feel like now at this point, the coaches probably had to have a conversation like, listen, if you're going to do this, please tell us ahead of time. So like freaking out on the sidelines.
The coaches should be told of the celebrations beforehand. So they have to.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, everyone approves.
At least that celebration. Hey, coach, I'm going to fake an injury. Like, also, maybe bad karma. Maybe don't test the fates. You know what I mean? It's like trying to get out of work by saying your grandmother died. Like, I don't think you want to do that. That's not okay.
Nah, you're fine.
I don't like it. It drives me. It's like I've been fucking having panic attacks because of this on the couch. All right. Let's see what else we have. Let's play over under. You want to play a little over under with me?
Let's do it.
We got all right.
Pick them up.
So we might have some of these have gone back. Oh, we didn't even talk about your fins. You want to talk about your dolphins and explain what's happening with them?
All right. I'm going to be honest. We didn't look that great on offense specifically, but the defense was on point. So, you know, good and bad. The offense wasn't terrible, but it was a timing thing. It's like, it's not the guys aren't getting open. It's like everyone's mistimed everything. But I see guys turning around when Tua's already throwing it. I'm like, God damn it. I don't know what's going on, but I don't.
Yeah, no. Well, Waddle and Hill will get open. That's a guarantee, pretty much. Even Hill was hurt, and he still got wide open for some. Mm-hmm. Like, he is going to be open. And at 50%, he's still faster than the rest of the field. But Tua was making some bad throws, again, 2 weeks in a row, and some questionable decisions. Like, he made one throw where he was throwing at Gesicki. He was looking Gesicki's way. While Gesicki was covered by like Asante Samuel Jr. maybe or something, like a good corner was on Gesicki, and that's where he was on a sideline route. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, that's not open. Like, that's not a good matchup. There were definitely
he's just hoping the size difference and Gesicki will take it from height alone because he is taller than
he is. Like, Gesicki's a talent. He's really good, but like it seemed like weird decisions at weird times. It was definitely a bunch of bad reads. This is the second week in a row. He's looked pretty iffy. I think he's definitely taken himself out of the MVP conversation. He still might be comeback player of the year, though. I'll throw that out there. If he finishes strong, he might be the comeback player of the year. The award is pretty murky. I was looking it up because I picked McCaffrey for comeback player of the year. And right now that's looking like a strong pick. He's having a great year, obviously. But the qualifications for comeback player of the year are really pretty question. Like, they're, it's not very clear cut. It's just like, you had a much better year than you did last year, whether it was injury.
I'm looking at the numbers right now. You know who's on top? I was like, big surprise, of course. Geno Smith
is, yeah, he's one of the top candidates for comeback player of the year for sure. It's going to be hard to give it to McCaffrey over him, but unless he stumbles down the stretch, which he might do, and he still played well, even in some losses. So
the only thing that's against McCaffrey and a guy like, and Saquon too, is that they were already playing at such a high level before. Like, this is like a huge improvement for Geno Smith. I think that like really makes it like a comeback.
Yeah.
These guys are like, yeah.
I mean, McCaffrey was expected to bounce back and have a great year this year. Saquon was also kind of expected, not to the level he has performed at, but like, yeah, they were expected to come back and have big bounce back years. You're right. Geno Smith has got to
be. Geno Smith doesn't win this, and I'd be shocked.
It's got to be Geno. It can't be. He could sit the rest of the year. He's got to be the comeback player of the year. All right, let's do over under. So let's do Baker Mayfield. How many more games do you think Baker starts for the Rams specifically? There's some question marks around Stafford. He's done for the rest of the year. I've heard mixed things. I've heard speculation that Stafford might retire, but I've also heard that, you know, McVay expects Stafford to come back next year. How many games does Baker start for the Rams going forward this year, next year, and in the future? I'm going to put the over under at 9 games. I think he finishes out this season. What do you think?
I'm going to put the over. I'll take the over. I agree. I think he might be the Rams' new QB for a while, at least for next year. I do think Stafford's retired. I think that's exactly what Sean McVay is supposed to say until Stafford gives him the official word.
Yeah.
And like what I think he's done.
Is Stafford under contract still?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter when you retire.
No, it doesn't matter when you retire. But what I'm wondering is, could Stafford also seek like other options? You know, like could he go?
I don't know. He guess he could.
I don't know. Been?
They all took like mercenary contracts, so they weren't long.
Yeah, I don't think he's got a long-term contract. So, I mean, there is potentially still a door open for Stafford to go somewhere else. There's a bunch of QBs who I'm curious as to whether or not they move.
Stafford's old, though, now that I'm thinking about it, though. Stafford's playing since the Reebok era. It's just him and Brady, right?
Yeah, Stafford's pretty old, but, man, he can still sling.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to another team, dude.
Still got the arm talent. You know, imagine if Stafford – and this is a fun game. Imagine if Stafford went back to the Lions.
Just trade him back again.
Goff just keeps building these teams up until they're ready to win a Super Bowl, and then Stafford
takes the bowl. Oh my god! Oh, the ultimate vulture, a Super Bowl ring vulture.
Bro, they would absolutely take Stafford back in Detroit. They love They love him. He's like their greatest quarterback. I know they do, but
that's so disrespectful to me.
I saw this fucking, I saw a meme, probably one of the best memes I've seen this year was, it was like a banner in the Lions, in the Superdome or wherever, wherever the Lions are playing in their stadium that said, our old quarterback won a Super Bowl. They love him, dude. They're like in Detroit, they bragged about Stafford winning a Super Bowl with another team. That's how much they love him.
Stafford does love Detroit too. I know he shows them love. He never like right. If he could have won a Super Bowl there, he would have. I know. I believe in
him. He's the Little Caesars spokesman, man. He's a you know, he's a Lion for life. He just went to win a Super Bowl somewhere else. He'll retire as a Lion for sure. I guarantee you that. There's no question about that in my mind. I think he retires as a Lion.
I don't think people do that anymore. Care to?
Nah, he'll do it. I think he'll do it. He's too beloved in Detroit. Whether or not he plays for them again,
I know what you mean. He'll get the contract and then retire the jersey.
The one day contract or whatever. How about another comeback or go back? Imagine if Geno Smith, I don't know what kind of contract he's got. Imagine Geno Smith going back to the Jets. How fun of a storyline would that be, dude? I'm putting that on my wish list for next year. Geno Smith, 10 years later, goes back to the Jets and takes them to the Super Bowl, maybe. Who knows? I mean, he's got – that team is so good. You put Geno Smith on that team now? The Geno Smith now on that team now? Oh, man. That's a fun story.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. That's scary to think about, dude. Oh.
Kind of is.
Oh, I mean, AFC East, I hate it. Yeah. I love it, but I hate it.
The Jets are a big question mark on in terms of quarterback. And I think, and then we've talked about Brady to the 49ers. I think those are my three wish lists for quarterbacks changing teams next year. Stafford back to the Rams, Geno back to the Jets, and Brady to go finish his career in San Francisco. Boy, that'd be great for the league.
I like two out of the threes because you know Goff's my bull. Two out of three, I'll take.
Either way, any of those would be great storylines. All right. Jalen Hurts looks like he's now the front runner, clear favorite for the MVP award. How many MVPs is Jalen Hurts going to win in his career? I'm going to put the over under at 1.5. I'm assuming he's going to win this year.
Yeah.
Is this going to be his only MVP, or do you think he wins more than one?
I mean, I don't think this MVP is guaranteed still. I still think Patrick Mahomes is lighting him up and playing really nice.
Mahomes had another game, though, where it was like he threw some picks. They won the game, but it didn't look super pretty.
I don't know, man.
I mean, dude, the one big play was like basically a hook shot as he was running out of bounds. As great play as it was, it wasn't like Mahomes dominated the game from start to finish. Jalen Hurts.
I feel you, but almost flash almost helps. And again, it's always hard because it feels like they go back and forth on what they define as the MVP, like the definition. It's like, is it really who's most valuable to the team, or is it who's lighting it up on points? So it's really hard what they will actually decide to do. But yeah. I just think he'll get the one. It's not that he's not playing great or whatever, but I just think this is maybe just peak Eagles season. This is a time to strike when the iron's hot. I don't know if they're going to get this again.
So you think he gets – I mean, the list of players who only have one MVP is a pretty good list of players. Mahomes still only has one MVP. I think he's going to win another one at some point. I think he'll probably win a couple more. But, yeah, Hurts – I think he's going to win this year. He is dominating games with his legs, with his arm. He is making the flashy plays and the big splash plays and just blowing teams out in dominating fashions. I think he's going to win this year, deservedly so. And I think he wins one more. I think I'm going to give him one more. I know there's a lot of talent that he's going to be up against. But I think he manages to pull off one more MVP. Actually, I don't know if I do.
Is this soon, or is it going to be like a later on in his career one?
Mm, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, because now I'm thinking about all the other players that he's got to compete with for MVPs. No, I think I'm going to take the under, actually. I'll take just one MVP for Jalen Hurts. This year, this is one and only. Because there's so many.
Is so hard, man. Like, there's a new stud every week, man.
I know, there really are. Yeah, and you got guys like Justin Jefferson. You got McCaffrey is still going to be in the conversation for a couple of years, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then new quarterbacks coming in. Who knows? So, I'm going to give him.
Mika Parsons still doing his thing. Yeah.
I think Mika, you're right. We talked about him. I think he's going to win an MVP at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the only.
And it feels like once they give you one, they're more inclined to pass it around to other people. It's like they know. They're like, all right, you got one.
Right. You got to really show out to get more than one MVP. Mm-hmm. You got to just own the league.
Yeah, you got to win championships. Who gets dynasties like that anymore? Like, Brady was the last, right? To get multiple
back-to-back. Yeah. I mean, he won, didn't he win the MVP with the Bucks? Or was it two back-to-back Rodgers MVPs? This is third. He won. I feel like I don't remember.
I think Rodgers won the year before last, not the year they won. I think he did win the MVP the year they won.
He did.
He was lighting it up the whole whole year. The Bucks ran over everyone.
That's right. That first year with the Bucks, he did. I think he did win the MVP. So he's got like four or five. But you know, longevity does that too. Oh, longevity and greatness, obviously. But let's see what else. Oh, okay. All right. How many more fines are we going to see for faking injury? How many fines are we going to see for faking injuries next season? With this the first one, I'm going to put the over under at 3.5. Are we going to see more than 3.5 fines levied next season for faking injuries? Or is it just going to go away entirely?
I think they'll probably go away entirely because the league does a thing, but they forget the next year. They do. I feel like basketball does that same thing too, where they start the fight, but then they kind of get away from it.
Oh no, I meant are they just going to stop faking injuries because they get fined? Like
I think they're just going to stop fighting. I think they're going to forget, but I think it's good. They're going to crank down for a little bit, and then once people stop, and then it'll be like a coast is clear situation, and then again. So
I don't know, man.
Be under. Yeah.
I think it'll be under too. You're right, but I don't think it's because the NFL is going to stop doing it. I think they're going to stop faking injuries. I think the NFL really wants to put a stop to it. No, you don't think it's going to happen?
People are going to stop cheating, or people are going to stop doing steroids too, man. No, they're going to get better at it. Like that's it, dude.
Ooh, all right. So they're going to get better at acting like they got injured.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. They're going to have like blood capsules now, and just like really.
I don't know, man.
Work.
I think they're going to start bringing in like independent specialists when there's I think they're going to start looking at this like, oh,
there's no way the NFL owner is okay that. Like, you're independent specialist. No way. That would screw up way more things than just that.
I mean, this is $500,000 fine, man. This is a big fine. There's going
to
be.
Yeah, but I think that's what they're trying to do. Once it's like, I guess, I don't know, that whole bounty gate, you know, I know they make a huge deal. But I still bet defensive players get some secret bonuses for really laying out some hits.
I mean, they get paid more.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a bounty. It's like, all right.
Right. I don't think there's a cash pool anymore for, taking Brett Favre out of, the game. I don't think that's happening. But,
I don't think you're grounded if you do it still.
It's the thing is with the penalties now, it hurts the team so much in game that it is starting to be like you're starting to see guys actually do try to pull up and catch the quarterback. Like they're taking him down. You're seeing a lot of sacks where they're just bear hugging quarterbacks, you know, like they get to him and they just boom, fucking bear hug him. And they don't even take him to the ground sometimes because they just wait for it to be blown dead. Like the guys who are big enough that they don't have to take him to the ground, they just wrap him up.
I see that. Boom. I see a lot of pickup. A lot of guys just pick up the QB or the runner now.
Sure. You're not going.
It's like as soon as they're off their feet, they whistle it.
They whistle it dead. And they're like, I'm not going to get a penalty, but you're not going anywhere either.
And also, how emasculating. Like, bro, put me down. Like, so bad.
Like a guy like Austin Eckler, who's like so strong, so powerful, just getting picked up by a defensive lineman, like Dominic and Sue just picks him up. Like, you're not gonna keep his little legs are kicking still.
I was like, this is crazy.
It's funny. I like it. A couple injuries for fantasy. So a lot of fantasy, all fantasy playoffs should be starting next week. Ours started a week early. So this is a lot. this is crunch time. Couple big injuries fantasy wise. Tyreek Hill is obviously something to monitor. I got him on my team. Hopefully I'll be advancing to the second round, but I got to keep an eye on that. Russell Wilson got knocked out. Damn, dude, he's done. I don't think he doesn't need to see another snap this year, does he? Like, can we just
I don't think he, what's the point? I don't know. They were eliminated already.
Eliminated from the playoffs. Like, just, yeah, Russ got really badly knocked out. Mike White, we talked about Mike White taking those rib shots and probably got the wind knocked out of him. They said he's probably going to play this week, though. So good for him. He's tough. Return, we talked about Jameson Williams coming back, coming, playing for the first time in the NFL and playing really well. So he's a nice waiver pickup, and so is DJ Chark. Those Lions down the stretch, next few weeks, man, they're going to be slinging it, I think. So Lions receivers, great waiver pickups potentially. Elijah Moore finally got going with the Jets offense, as he should. They got a...
Who's been holding on to him? Like, just waiting.
Yeah, nobody's been holding on to him. He should be on waivers. The tight end for the Titans, Okonkwo, I think, had a really big game. He was picked up, I think, in a lot of leagues or some people. He was picked up in some this week, and mostly a lot of the reason was because Treylon Burks was hurt, and possibly their other tight end. So he's a nice receiving option for the Titans with where they don't have a lot of guys right now. Chuba Hubbard had a pretty good game for the Panthers. I mentioned Mike White and Brock Purdy. Both of these guys are at the helm of just offenses with tons of weapons, with so many run after the catch guys, guys who can make plays. And Mike White and Brock Purdy are both putting it on. They both had really good games this past week. I think if you need a quarterback, for instance, if you're, I don't know why you'd be playing Russ at this point, but if you need a quarterback and your guy wasn't playing well, or potentially, you know, you just want to take a shot on somebody to make it, just to make some noise and make an upset in the playoffs, take a look at those guys. Oh, and Trevor Lawrence, I'll turn. He had a huge game. Trevor Lawrence is probably not available. All right, let's talk about worst QBs. So you picked Kyle Allen, who did not play. That's a disqualification for you. I picked Russell Wilson, who actually played really well until he got knocked out.
This would have been my week.
24.58 points from Russell Wilson. And then Lonnie picked Mike White, who got knocked out of the game. He probably was going to have a good game, but 8.68. So Lonnie got the luckiest pick of the week. So you get first pick this week, man, for worst QB.
I say we make a change. Maybe not this year, but I just want to say this while it's on subject. How about if you're disqualified, instead of getting automatic last, you settle for a set amount of points, let's say 18, as a punishment instead? Because that 24 points is still kind of crazy, don't you think? Like, I should get a scratch. I agree.
Here's the thing. Sometimes strategically, we can talk about it. Obviously, it's up for discussion after the season. But
I'm with you. I'm just saying, as a penalty.
Strategically, I know what you're saying, but like, I've been staying away. Sometimes you take a chance, right? Like, remember last year, you and Lonnie both picked Carolina quarterbacks, two different Carolina quarterbacks.
But then you also take a chance on a high scratch. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying not get okay. punished. I'm just saying this punishment's severe, man. This is coffee, 2 weeks.
Here we go. I know. But
the same kind of shit over a team that swore they were starting the same guy.
I know. It's tough, but like, you knew they were going to start Russ at Denver. I knew they were going to start Russ in Denver.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you got to pick a guy who you know is going to play, especially when we get to this time of the season. I just like the strategic aspect of, and the risk involved in picking players who like, oh, he might play, he might not play. I don't know. Or I'm going to pick the safe bet. This guy's going to play, but he might play poorly. Bring it up. We'll talk in the offseason about this contest. But let's get to the order, the business at hand, though, first and foremost. Who you got this week?
Let me see. What week is it?
Desmond Ridder is an interesting option at New Orleans. Matt Ryan at Minnesota. Huntley. Brock Purdy is going to add Seattle, but he had a really good game, man. You got Baker at Green Bay. Sam Darnold versus Pittsburgh is interesting.
Oh, fucking who? Let's do the Falcons guy.
Riddler. You're going to do the rookie? Okay. Desmond, I think that's probably a good pick.
Well, because he's starting. I don't even think he's going to play bad because the Saints are trash. But
gosh, now you got me second-guessing myself.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I'm just scared to pick.
I know. I'm gun-shy. Sam Darnold is the safest bet to start, I think, actually. But I'm sticking with Baker, man. So you're on a bye, a worst last round bye, moving on to the bottom round.
And also, my team has played fantastic. I have 122 points this week, and two of my players are on bye. They're in this lineup. So I did that with the week I'm on a bye, and I don't need to win. They all play out.
But you got to be encouraged by that, though, for next week. You know what I mean? Like, you
not
gotta,
really.
Not really.
They're taunting me. They know what they're doing. The universe knows what's happening. Well,
like, if you win next week, you are in the clear. If you don't, if you lose next week, you're in the loser's bracket championship, which is a 2-week championship round. So we'll see what happens. I need Ramondre Stevenson to outscore Nick Folk. I like my chances, but I don't feel totally safe yet. Now, what about DraftKings? Let's do DraftKings. We'll find out from Lonnie in a minute, or we'll text him later. But who'd you take for DraftKings captain?
Ramondre Stevenson. He paid off last time.
You took Stevenson. Okay, cool. It's my guy for tonight. I played Stevenson, but I took Kyler Murray as my captain. There's a lot of interesting picks this week. A lot of players with explosive potential. So I like it. Who do you think is going to win tonight? Cardinals, Patriots. Patriots are also right there with the Jets and the Dolphins both dropping. Patriots could be in the mix still. Who do you think takes this game? It should be a good game.
I see the Patriots. There are more on the upswing. The Cardinals kind of look, I don't know, like they may have packed it in for the season.
Yeah. I don't know if I think the Cardinals are going to still play. I think they're playing hard. I think it's going to be a close game, but I also am giving the edge to the Patriots. I'm a homer. I got to pick my team, but also I do believe that they're going to get it done and a little extra motivation with their division rivals losing and that playoff spot potentially being available. So I'm going to go with that. All right. Okay, cool. What else we got? You got any shows coming up this weekend? You got a promo?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be at the library in Lake Worth, secret spot behind Lilo's. I think show's at 8 o'clock, maybe 9. Go to social media. I'll post it.
Fuck yeah, dude. All right. The library in Lake Worth. Nice. Cool. I got some big shows. I'm actually going on the road this weekend with Dougie Almeida. Thursday night, we're going to be in Columbus, Georgia at The Loft. And Friday night, we're doing a little detour to Jacksonville where, it's like a casual little room. I'm going to host. Dougie's going to close it out, but it's like a glorified open mic, but it's going to be fun on Friday night. And then Saturday night, we got another show at a club in Fort Walton Beach at the Comedy Zone in Fort Walton Beach. So really excited about that big road trip. And then I'll be back on Sunday. So yeah, hitting the road. All right, cool, man. Am I going to see you tomorrow night coming through to Bruce?
Oh, yeah, most likely.
Cool. All right. I'll see you then. Okay, cool. Right. For everybody watching, listening, thank you guys for watching and listening. You can always follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, you can watch and listen to full episodes on our YouTube channel and on Google, Apple, Spotify, and everywhere you can find podcasts. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And we will see you guys next week. All right.